All of this can be edited out, except for everything after now. This is the real... Wow, your face really just like went... boom. Your whole face went from... Okay, it's gonna... Oh no! Hello, welcome to the Life Toyetic with Ben and Molly. I am the Ben one.
My name is Toyetic.
And... That's her name. And together we are doing a podcast.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole premise. Cool. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. That's it. We're doing it right now. You're listening to it.
I'm very excited, Ben. How long have we been talking about doing a podcast?
It's been 1 week since you looked at me, cocked your head to the side and said,
I know
angry.
The real answer.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years.
It's been maybe 14 months.
I like that you've been like counting the days.
Just how my mind works.
We have like a calendar where you've like crossed, like you've drawn a podcast, like a little microphone symbol on every day of the calendar. Like today's the day.
Yeah, every day then, since you first told me you were going to do a podcast with me, I cross off the day and I say today was the day that Ben betrayed me again.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's how I marked it on my calendar as well.
So you're finally making good on your word.
And this is where the healing begins.
Yes.
This is where we start doing the podcast. And in 14 months' time, you'll be back where you were 14 months ago when we first suggested it, and then you can be excited about doing the podcast.
And it will all have balanced out.
It will absolutely all have balanced out. So what are we doing here, Molly?
We are going to watch some movies.
We are.
And discuss them.
We are. Now,
which is an entirely new premise for a podcast.
I did do a quick Google, and I don't think anyone else has ever... done this
I'm really
before.
Excited to be on the cutting edge of this.
I would go so far as to call it the bleeding edge.
We cut it and then also it is bleeding.
We cut the edge. Now, that's the thing. Do we cut ourselves with the... Is it an edge for cutting or is it an edge that has been cut?
I think we cut it ourselves. Because we're the agents of change. And
that's the name of the podcast, is Agents of Change. So rather than just, we're not just like watching any old movies, there's a theme to the show, and it is specifically, it's toyetic movies.
Mm-hmm. And that is a real word.
It's a real word.
That I found on the internet.
So that's how you know it's real, is you found it on geocities.com/imaginary words /
Angel Fire.
Yeah. Toyetic movies and TV shows are TV shows and movies that exist specifically to promote a toy,
mm-hmm.
where sometimes the cartoon exists to sell an existing toy, or the TV show or film and the toy are like developed in tandem to kind of promote each other in a way. But the idea is always, and it's kind of the same, it's kind of Young Justice syndrome, where it's the show existed to sell the toys, and because the toys weren't selling, the show got cancelled. It's that, but with movies,
mm-hmm.
he said in a strange way. So we're looking at films that very specifically exist to sell a toy or that have been co-developed with the toy. And a good place to start that we have mutually agreed upon is the seminal... is it 2016?
I think it must have been.
2016 DreamWorks animated classic Trolls, which is based on the toys of old... Of which I had many, like, I had the little pencil topper ones. Because they came with cereal, they came free with, like, Weetos in the UK.
They always made me deeply uncomfortable on account of they wore no clothing.
They just had no clothes on.
They had no clothes on.
They had clothes.
Did they?
I think that because the clothes were fabric, you could just take them off. I think they were Velcro on the back. So people would take them off, and then they would lose them, and then you just had a bunch of naked trolls.
I must have just never encountered a troll that had clothes. Like, every troll I encountered was one whose clothes had been discarded, and... The child never bothered to dress them again.
Is it too late to rename this podcast Naked Troll Encounter? Because I do think that's...
It is not too late.
Okay, we don't have the album art
yet.
That's correct. Do those three words conjure up mental images for you to draw upon?
Yes, they do. I don't know if I want to explore those images any further.
I agree. I don't need to see that I still think that the theme for this podcast should be 1 week by the Bare Naked Ladies, but we would definitely get sued.
We can absolutely afford to buy the,
oh, yeah.
The rights for that.
I don't even think we need to buy the licensing rights. I think we can just buy the song off of whichever record label owns that song, the distribution to that song in the US. We just buy the rights to that one song. But then, of course, every copy of that particular Bare Naked Ladies album, they then have to license the song from us or just just cut the song from the album. Which would be a good little way of generating revenue.
Yeah, a fun passive income source.
Yeah, we wouldn't need to have advertising on the podcast. We could just...
So we have a plan.
It's good. It's nice to know that we've kind of structured the finances of the podcast to make it profitable from really day one. Or day zero, because day one is when the podcast goes live, at which point we obviously will have already... incidentally, please don't forget to back our GoFundMe to raise the money to buy the US distribution rights for the song 1 week by the Bare Naked Ladies. Now, let's talk about trolls for a minute, because that is actually what we're supposed to be doing. So the structure of this podcast is we record a little bit before we watch the movie, which is what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. Then we go away and watch the movie, and then we talk about what we just saw and try to, like...
come to terms.
Try to reconcile that with every other experience we've had in our lives and make peace with... the images that have been inflicted upon us. You've seen Trolls before, I
have. Okay. When it first came on Netflix.
Okay.
The wife and I watched it.
And is there anything you can tell me to prepare me? Because there are films, we have a very long list of films, some of which one of us has seen, some of which both of us have already seen, and a few that none of us have seen. What is there any advice that you can give me to kind of psychologically prepare myself, mind, body, and spirit, for the adventure that we are about to embark on together?
Honestly, I didn't retain a whole lot of it. I do remember coming away thinking, I just experienced a lot of sounds and colors, and I need to lie down and close my eyes for a while.
Okay. So will you need to lie down after we watch
most
the movie?
Most likely.
Okay. Will you need to lie down as we record? Because that will involve a microphone repositioning.
I might have like a cold pack on my forehead and be reclining as we record.
So it sounds very much like we're about... It's like the cinematic equivalent of eating like an entire thing of jelly beans to yourself and then feeling very, very queasy, sick to your stomach afterwards because of all the kind of sugary sweetness that you've just ingested.
The jelly beans are also edibles.
Yes.
Let's add that into the mix. That's an
enjoyable...
There's a psychotropic element, I think, to this movie.
You think so? So actually, sidebar, can you get edible jelly beans?
Probably.
I feel like we need to...
I think you can make your own if you just get some jelly beans and toss them in the oil.
Yes. All right. I'm on board for that. Why aren't we making our own edible jelly beans and then selling them online and then immediately getting arrested by the federal government?
I think you just answered your own question.
I think you might be right. I'm not saying that's a hurdle, I'm just saying that's...
It's something to take into consideration.
It's part of the process. We just have to roll that in. So we're gonna sit down and watch Trolls. That's what we're doing for the next, I guess, 75 to 80 minutes?
Somewhere around there.
It's in that ballpark. And then we will come back and tell you why we did that. Well, I guess we've already told you why we did that. We're gonna come back and tell you what we thought.
We may be trying to rationalize it to ourselves at that point.
I just have this...
Why we made this choice.
I just have this, like, I was going to say this audio image in my head, which is a nonsense term, but of like, I was going to, okay, we'll be back in a minute, and then a musical sting, and then it just comes back to us, like, profusely sobbing, just loud wailing, just like the heartbroken howls of a ruined soul. Is that...
Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll see
I'm
what
not
happens.
Ruling anything out at this point.
But you have the advantage of... foreknowledge.
That's true, but it may be that your response triggers something in me.
You're the Cassandra in this situation. You're supposed to be giving me some kind of advanced... Because here's the thing. Pitching Trolls for the first episode was entirely me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew you'd already seen it. That was the... Really, that point was the point to say, well, maybe we shouldn't do that one. But you didn't. So I'm assuming it's not going to be too jarring on a psychological, psychotropic level. Or...
Maybe I just wanted to watch you squirm, Ben. I won't be watching the movie. I'll be watching you watch the movie.
That's the worst thing. Like, when someone says, oh, it's my favorite movie. Have you not seen it? And you go, no, I haven't. They go, oh, we have to watch it. And then you're watching the movie with them, and you're facing forward looking at the camera, and then... Well, not the camera, the television. You're looking at the camera.
You're not in Russia.
Yeah, no. very abstract. And you're looking at the television, but then you can see in the corner of your eye they're just watching you watch the movie with a big shit-eating grin on your face.
That's going to be me.
During this?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can live with that.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to do that then, I guess. We're going to sit down and watch Trolls. Pray for us. So, we have just watched Trolls. This is the first time I've seen it. This mm-hmm. is your second viewing. How much of it did you remember from the first
Very little.
There's just a lot of, it's a lot of like bright...
It's colors and shapes and sounds.
Yes.
It's just an assault on the senses.
Yes. That is absolutely how I would describe this movie. So we're going to attempt to humorously and succinctly give you a brief rundown of the narrative of this movie. So to bring... I'm going to do some scat first. That's kind of how we bridge from the beginning of the podcast to the main course. So trolls exist mm-hmm. and are very real and have very bright, vivid, like, what's the opposite of a pastel?
Saturated.
Yes, that's the word. Saturated. Day glow. They live in neon days. They have neon dreams and neon, the thing that happens when you're not dreaming, which is, I guess, when you're awake. They're just perpetually... Yeah, that's
what you're describing.
They have a perpetual kind of effervescence and colour and joy, and they're constantly happy. They're always singing and dancing and laughing and shouting and having a wonderful time. And they get discovered by these creatures called the Bergens. Okay. I had it written down, but I couldn't remember whether it was Bergen or Burgeon, and I didn't want to ask like a gif situation.
The Virgin Mary had a baby boy.
So the Burgens have no joy. I'm just going to say virgin now the whole time.
Well, that is already virgin. A word. Burgeoning. To burgeon is
I'm
going to
say it in the French. Virgin.
Okay.
In the French
Wouldn't
film,
that be Bergen? If it's B-E-R-G-E-N. Bergen.
Bergen.
Les Bergens.
Les Bergens.
Maybe you should just say Bergen.
Bergen's probably easier. That is how the English would mangle the French word. Bergen. It'd be Bergen. That's Bergen, innit?
I was going some Bergen.
Bergen?
Bergen.
Bergen.
So you're doing an okay job.
So the Bergens discover that the trolls are cocaine.
Yeah.
This is what happens, is that they eat a troll and they're able to experience a moment of pure happiness. And rather than go on a binge, as any other creature on this planet would do, they instead say, you know what, let's have a little bit of self-control, a modicum of restraint, and we'll just keep the tree that they live in a cage in the center of town where anyone can grab them and the trolls can leave at any time because the bars in every cage in this movie are 5 foot wide. And then they have this thing, this annual festival where everyone gets to eat a troll called Trollstice.
Mm-hmm. I'm impressed by their self-restraint. I feel like they're a prudent race. They have a lot of admirable qualities.
Here's the thing, though. We're not supposed to like them. The character design is very, like, rough. They've got, like, kind of misshapen teeth.
It looks like they've got chiclets shoved up in there.
I don't know what any of the words in that sentence mean, but absolutely I agree with you 8,000%. Everything about the design of the Bijouan is is specifically curated to elicit contempt, but they never really, with the exception of the one main villain, they never do anything to earn that malice. Like, at the very beginning, you kind of feel sorry
for them.
They're
just your depressed friend. Yeah. Everyone's got one.
Everyone's got one, even the trolls, which we will come back to. So, the annual Trollstice comes along, and the more I say that word, the more I love it. Trollstice. The Trollstice comes along, they go to eat, the baby prince Bergen,
Prince Gristle.
Prince Gristle? Is that his actual name?
I'm fairly certain.
I didn't remember
anything. I turned the subtitles on so you could read it to yourself while they read it aloud.
But I don't like to read.
I was just hoping it would be encoded on multiple senses so you would retain it better.
That's not how my brain is shaped.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. That's not your fault. So, Bryan Cranston goes to eat his first troll. It's a momentous occasion. And he spits it out because he says it's rotten. And it turns out it's a wooden carving of a troll wearing a wig. And the thing I liked about this was that the wooden, like the fake troll looked like the old the troll toys. Troll. And was also naked. Which,
like
as
the
you,
original trolls.
As you pointed out.
Is my favorite aspect of the troll franchise is that all of the trolls are naked.
Tell me more about troll nudity, Molly.
It elicits strong negative feelings for me, to be sure.
Is it the fact that they just have a smooth curve
I think
where the genitalia
the
would be?
The absence of genitals is disconcerting.
I was always kind of, I don't want to say drawn in, but I guess captivated might be the word, by the buttocks of a troll.
Is it Cupid dolls that have like tiny little like cute genitals?
You know what? Never having seen or indeed heard of Cupid dolls before.
Oh, never. There's some doll that's very similar to a troll in body proportions that instead of having nothing down there, has like a little...
Just look at that. It's just like a little finger. Maybe that's too much.
No, it looks very much like a small finger.
My sister did have a doll when we were a kid. When we were one child, before we separated from the Gestalt entity, when we were very, very young, she did have a doll that absolutely had a penis. It was a peened up.
It may have been a Cupid doll.
A peened up baby child. You're going to look up Cupid dolls?
I'm going to look up a picture of Cupid dolls.
So that I can... But do you realize by doing this, A, you're going to elicit disgust from me?
Oh no, Cupid dolls don't have genitals. And what am I thinking of as a doll with genitals?
I'm kind
of
glad.
Somewhere there's a doll with genitals. A doll for children. A small doll that is marketed to children that has genitals. I'm aware of the other dolls that have genitals.
I was very, very close to bringing up...
I am really ready to stop saying genitals now.
We've said the word genitals so much that the word is beginning to lose its meaning and its cachet, frankly.
Maybe we should move on.
Yes,
or are they genitals?
They're genitals? Genitali.
That's Italian.
That is Italian.
We've switched languages.
It's all Europe, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same place.
It's all, a monolith.
Yeah, I like the fact that we did talk about this. Your overriding memory of trolls is just their constant intrusive nudity.
Mm-hmm.
And my memory is that they came with clothes, and then the first thing that you do...
Is remove the clothes,
and then immediately lose them. They're gone forever. They're like little Velcro on the back, kind of like a Barbie doll, and then you would take the clothes off and be like, haha, it's naked. And then goodbye clothes, goodbye forever, they're just gone. Which actually happens at the start of the movie. The first thing that happens to the King Troll is
his clothes are removed and lost forever.
It's... There are so many... I have to say, there are so many fetishes... that
there's going to be a lot of awakenings happening for the children who watch this movie.
There are so many,
and perhaps some of the parents who watch this movie.
This is, I mean, there are more fetishes. Like more children are being like woken up by the vaguely sexual concepts in this movie than by something like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like more this film, I guarantee
or
you,
or Robin Hood.
Absolutely, not that we're citing any movies from personal preference or experience, but. but like this is the Trolls is the movie that in like 15 years time there's going to be this explosion of sexy artwork on like DeviantArt and Tumblr. There are probably already Tumblr subcultures devoted to some of the obscene stuff that happens in this movie, and it's getting a sequel.
People are going to be custom making troll suits to wear to cons,
yeah.
And
they're going to be called trollies.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm already disgusted.
But when you write that out, it just looks like trolleys.
It does
and you're
look
like
trolleys.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, get on the trolley. Nope, don't do that.
Don't,
firstly, you mispronounced it, and secondly, that does not mean what you thought it meant. So the trolls escape.
Mm-hmm.
They escape from captivity, and 20 years pass. So 20 years where the Bijouan do not have any... They don't know where the trolls are. And in fact, they kicked out the chef for allowing... The trolls to escape.
But we haven't introduced this chef.
We haven't introduced the chef because I didn't realize who she was until she was being kicked out. Like the imagery of her head did not resonate with me until the film was very clearly setting her up as like, this is your villain.
The antagonist.
Yeah. So 20 years pass and the story of the rescue is being passed down by Princess Poppy, who is the princess, the daughter, I presume, of the king.
he presumes so too.
Yeah, I mean...
But it's never... We don't go into
it. We don't... I mean, troll genetics is... that's our other podcast. We will be going into a 52 episode weekly
breakdown. We do have a lot of questions as to how these trolls reproduce.
This is going to
be... And we have some theories.
We do, and we will be covering those in a spin... Sorry, Mel just tried to unlock your phone. I just watched her swipe up on your screen with her nose. Does she get messages on your cell phone?
Sometimes, but she doesn't have thumbs, so... Mel...
But she does have a nose. Mel,
it doesn't recognize her nose print, unfortunately. They don't have the technology for that yet. The new Pixel does, though. It has
the dog nose
print identification. Yeah. Mel, come get on the couch. We're not playing. It's not playtime.
She doesn't have any movie opinions, does she?
No, she can't really perceive the movie.
Okay.
I'm sure she can hear the song.
If we turned on like
the descriptive
audio, she'd be set. Molly has a mostly blind dog who is
She's about 95.8% blind.
Yeah. So the chef basically has spent the 20-year period. She's devoted her life to trying to track down the trolls and recapture them.
You'd think she would move on. She had 20 whole years.
That's 2 decades of her life. To
do something else with her life.
Yeah.
It's possibly... Well, no, it's not the majority of her life. She was pretty old when we started, but it's a good chunk.
Yeah, and her clothes are kind of like... off-colored,
she hasn't worn. Changed clothing in 20 years.
I suspect she hasn't showered. The end. The film does not address this. As luck would have it, on the 20th anniversary of their rescue, Poppy decides they're going to throw a big party.
A rave.
A rave, it's
really
basically.
A more apt word to describe it's, what happens.
And considering that trolls are kind of in a constant state of euphoria, as Mel agrees with, considering that trolls live in a kind of constant state of euphoria, they're kind of predisposed...
A state of what?
Euphoria.
Okay, you said euphoria.
Euphoria?
Maybe we should try this sentence for a fourth or fifth time.
18th time's a charm. So Princess Poppy has basically planned this rave. Mel is not making any noise, but I said Mel instead of Molly, so I decided to keep that conversation, that sentence going. The trolls have decided to throw this massive rave to celebrate... that 20 years of freedom, and considering that trolls are kind of predisposed towards euphoric, energetic, ecstasy-laden bangers, they're built for that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of their go-to. And considering that they liked to throw a lot of parties before they were captured, I have trouble believing this was their first big bash.
It was probably their biggest.
It was probably... The fact it was their biggest didn't...
I think they just get progressively bigger every year, every anniversary, and this just happened to be what tipped the scale.
Yeah. Also, maybe the fact... Maybe the chef has been off traveling the world and is
perhaps.
Just... It's finally coming home, like, I'm letting it go. It's consumed my life. This has become an unhealthy obsession. I need to just go home. I haven't seen my family. I have a daughter. I just need to get back home and just try to reconnect and move on with my life. And then she hears these fireworks... And suddenly that scratch at the back of her brain is going again, and she has to capture them all. And you know what she does? End of movie.
The end. They all die.
Yeah.
She eats them.
It's tragic. She does capture quite a lot of them. And by quite a lot, I want to say half a dozen. I'm thinking about 6 trolls.
I don't remember.
I think it was 7.
It was a number of trolls.
It wasn't a lot of trolls.
It was a handful. It was a fanny pack full.
It was a fanny pack. It was a bum bag's worth of trolls, which is what we call it in England, in case you didn't
know. Oh, no, I inferred from context clues.
I figured that you would get the inference, but I wanted to just kind of lay that on the table so you could
look
all over.
I like fanny pack better.
Fanny pack does sound better, but in England it means vagina bag.
But doesn't that sound like you're smuggling drugs?
It does sound, it does make you sound a little drug mule-y. It does, but like you can't give a child, like as an example, Burger King did like Ninja Turtles fanny packs as a giveaway 1 year. When I was very, very little, and you cannot give a 6-year-old child a fanny pack. You can't do it, but that is a concern.
If I were to go to the UK and while I was there, I Googled fanny pack, I end up on a register?
A cop car would immediately pull up next to you and throw you in the back.
Well, at least they wouldn't shoot me.
Yeah, they wouldn't shoot. Well, they can't.
Because they don't got no guns.
They don't got no guns, Molly. You are right. They are.
So I would be safe.
They are sans weaponry. I mean, they have those sticks.
That would be uncomfortable.
They could clock you upside the head, but at least you'd wake up afterwards. Key difference.
This
politics.
Took a turn.
It did take a turn. So anyway, yeah, so the trolls have their big drug rave. Most of them escape by hiding as, like, bushes?
Yeah, they can use their hair. Their hair is multifunctional.
I would describe... Their hair is whatever they need it to be in the moment, which is a wonderful plot contrivance. It allows you to write out of whatever nonsense gibberish situation you put the trolls into. But from a less I was going to say artificial, but it's all artifice, isn't it? Let's be fair. It's like the Green Lantern's ring. It's like he can turn it into a jet.
Into whatever he needs at any time.
And that's what troll hair is.
I think it functions within a certain set of rules.
Yeah.
It functions as sort of a supplementary appendage. It's useful in camouflage because they can change the color and length of it. They can extend and retract it at will, like a grappling hook.
And of course it's used for sex.
It's very useful for sexy times.
They do a lot of Avatar alien hair sex in this movie with the trolls. And I really want to stress that that's not an exaggeration. I'm looking at the mic because I'm talking to the mic to let the listener know that I'm addressing
I wish you could see the intensity in his eyes.
Listen, microphone, listen. A lot of this film is sexual metaphor. And not in a kind of, like, we're doing adult jokes. But, like, there's a lot of metaphor in there for sex that occurs. It's distracting at times. I don't know whether they intended it or not, but that's certainly what I, a 31-year-old, you know, straight passing white male, gleaned from
it one sounds viewing. Like you're trying to say that you got a boner while watching
Listen,
this movie.
Didn't we
you
all?
You were under a blanket.
I was under a blanket.
So I have no way of knowing.
That I will tell you, that bulge was a cat, okay? It was definitely, it was your cat, and you know that because you watched the cat climb under the blanket.
Maybe he was just trying to help you out. He wanted to give you an alibi.
The age difference is insurmountable. That would never have worked. So the chef just goes back to Bergen Town, Bijouantine, Bijouanville. I don't know what accent any of that was. Bergen Town to deliver the trolls that she's captured and win the favor of now King Gristle.
Don't know what happened to his father. We presume that he died.
I think what happened was he was eaten by a larger animal, a bipedal.
That seems to be a theme.
I think it's larger animals eat the animals, and then the larger animals eat
them.
There
are so many fetishes in this movie.
There's a lot of war.
There's layers.
It's a very, very Randy movie. It is all the way, like, horned up.
It is not about anything except sex.
It's a very, very saucy adult kids movie, and I feel sullied for having seen it. I feel sorry for anyone who forces their kids to watch this movie on a day-to-day basis instead of,
like... Do you feel sorry for the children?
It's 50-50. It's the kids and the adults. Because the adults don't know, because they're not watching it. They're off...
Oh, they just sit their children down.
Yeah, they sit their children down.
And the children are getting an education.
And then they have a nap, or they go to the hot tub, and the kids are out here having, you know, many, many awakenings, spiritual and sexual. The point I made in my notes here about Anthony Bourdain capturing the trolls is that surely all they need is they don't need a lot, they just need a breeding pair. Like, have a pair and get them to, because as we've already established, that's fine, we can edit around that. As we've already established, trolls are very sexual creatures.
They are.
So they have an hourly hug, like an hourly...
Rub your body up against another troll.
Yeah, it's
session.
And it's kind of the assumption is that it's consensual because they're all wearing the watches, with the exception of the one troll who we'll come back to.
The asexual troll.
The asexual sadness troll. The troll of misery.
The doomsday prepper.
The doomsday. Oh my god, he was, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was a doomsday prepper troll. So, like, they don't need a lot of trolls. They've got seven.
That's a very diverse gene pool.
Yeah. Wait, how many of the trolls that were captured were female?
Well, I don't think it matters if you're a troll, because if they don't have any genitals, I think the hair thing is just like a mix and match. Anything goes.
Are we to assume then that trolls are kind of gender fluid?
Yeah.
It's like that one alien species in the Orville that they just, it's one gender, but they can still, like, do the horizontal
however they
and
like.
Have
yeah.
lay an egg, and then the egg hatches and there's a beautiful baby troll inside.
Yeah.
They really don't touch upon the specifics of troll sex, even though they do talk about it a lot in this movie.
And other kinds of sex among other species.
There's some interspecies stuff happening in this movie.
I'm excited to get into all of this.
That's going to be a fun conversation. I think there's a gap in my notes, because my next note is, why are some of them British? Why are some of the trolls just British for no reason? That seems to be the trend in a lot of animated movies these days, where you've got some characters who are just British.
I was sort of under the impression that a lot of the voice actors aren't necessarily actors, but they're YouTubers.
Yes.
YouTube stars.
Yes, I learned that from the Brothers McElroy.
Yeah. So, like, Grace Helbig is in there. And I only know that they're YouTube people because I go on IMDb and they don't have a photo above their name.
Yeah. But they thought that would, like, grab the capture that kid audience of, like...
Do children watch YouTubers?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Poppy...
I'm so excited to grow up and share this world with these children as adults.
They're gonna be our politicians. We're gonna have political debates that end with, don't forget to subscribe. That's where we're going.
But they're gonna be wearing a troll suit.
But a troll suit, yeah. Debates will just be who can do the best troll sex on stage with another trolley. And it will just be called Get on the Trolley Live on NBC.
I'm visualizing this and I would like to stop.
Yeah.
So.
Let's very swiftly move on. So Poppy feels the weight of responsibility upon her tiny pink shoulders and decides to set off and rescue.
On account of it was her fault.
Yeah.
Because she was the one who threw this rave.
Yeah. And what's his name?
Branch.
Branch, who's the doomsday prepper.
Yes. Rightly so. He's proven right in the end.
He was the one who said, you know, don't throw this party. You're going to attract the Gregorians and we're all going to die. And then, as you say, that's proven to be a true fact. Sometimes troll Fox News gets it right. Not very often, but they do. Poppy tries to solicit Branch's help. Branch's reaction to that is, yeah. And then he shows her that he has a bunker where he can live for 10 years by drinking his own sweat, which I'm not sure. I don't know about troll biology, but I know that human biology, pretty confident that's not workable, right?
Maybe he has some sort of purification system.
I think
a desalination plant in his bunker.
But how's he capturing the sweat? Maybe
he has like a little suit that he wears.
Like a big old, like a wetsuit
like
kind
a,
of situation.
Yeah, he just wears a trash bag.
And it just filters down.
And at the end of the
down.
Day, he collects it.
There's sponges in the base of the shoes, and he just wrings them out. This is a gross image I'm painting for myself.
Yeah.
This is worse than the...
I was
the,
just going to let you go there.
This is worse than the troll suit
sex. Come
back
to me when you were ready.
I can't. I can't do it. So, Trolley? Nope. What is her name?
Poppy.
Poppy. Poppy sets off on her adventure, sings a little song. There's a lot of music in this movie, by the way, some of which are what I will refer to as gently mangled... covers of some of your favorites.
I would say very thoroughly mangled.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are gently mangled. Some of them, like, for example, the song Move Your Feet by Junior Senior has an entirely unnecessary rap break in the middle that breaks the flow of the song. I love that song. I genuinely do.
I'm learning so much about you today.
There's no reason not to love the song Move Your Feet by Junior Senior. It is a banger. It is fire, as the kids today say.
Do they?
I think they do. I'm led to believe by the internet that by pop culture, that is a thing that kids say.
Okay,
about.
Then that must be true.
Yeah. She's singing a song. She gets eaten by a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of vor. So much vor.
There's a lot of vor. She gets inflated at one point.
Yeah, she goes into some sort of anaphylactic episode.
Yeah, she has like a major malfunction and then gets wrapped in cobwebs and is about to be eaten by spiders when...
Branch saves her.
Yeah, Branch jumps in at the last minute and saves the day. And then Poppy's all, I knew you'd show up right on time. Like, oh, I deliberately went into... I deliberately went into an anaphylactic shock. Wow, I feel like my tongue has grown 3 sizes.
That day.
Yes, my tongue is having a reverse Grinch moment. Like, she deliberately went into anaphylactic shock and got herself trapped by spiders. It was all part of the plan. If he didn't show up, that's...
Do you think maybe she's into bondage and she was kind of low-key getting off on being wrapped up in cobwebs?
I didn't think that.
Facet?
I do now. And again, I think we're on fetish number 5 or 6.
We're getting up there.
We're getting up there. This film does reach double digits in terms of fetishistic awakenings.
Count.
Yeah, I want to know...
You should write this down.
Does the movie Trolls have its own category on FetLife? Is the question I want to ask.
Do you have an account?
I do.
Because we can look it up.
Alright, okay. Please don't look at my screen all over.
You could have said no, Ben. I just want you to know that you could have lied.
I could... The thing is,
or you could have refused.
I trust you. I trust you. You're one of my best friends.
I am not looking at your screen.
And me sitting and trying to log into FetLife.com is great radio. And I will always err on the side of great radio. Okay, go to my profile.
I'm sorely tempted, but I am not looking.
Scroll down to list of...
It's rare that I'm
fetishes.
Tempted to snoop on anyone, but I am so tempted
Trolls.
Right now. Please tell me.
There's a fetish for trolls.
Is it specifically these trolls, or is it just trolls as a concept?
It doesn't say. It just says seven people.
Can you click on it and, like, go to the forums and see? Not that I know how FetLife works.
It...
I'm just speculating.
There's no specifics about what the fetish is. Like, that whoever set up this fetish on FetLife didn't bother to, like, fill out the description field. If, hypothetically, if one... I don't know how this works. But if you were to set up a new fetish on FetLife, it just says trolls. And it's found 478 potentially related groups. But that I'm looking at some of the comments, and it's like, no trolling, or don't troll. So it's like...
So it's not literal trolls.
No, I think that... The trolls fetish on FetLife is either, and I'm wondering how much of this I'm going to edit out. The trolls fetish on FetLife is either people who have a fetish for people who go trolling on the internet,
mm-hmm.
or people who had their sexual awakening as a result of the 2016 DreamWorks movie Trolls, or combinations thereof, or people who go to the fetish, like, mark it as, you know, I'm into everything to do with it, save, oh, they're talking about trolling, or, oh, I thought this was... trolling, and it turns out to be the hit animated flick, which is with a sequel coming out in 2020. I'm going to close this window now so that you can look over. Okay, you're now okay. You have full free range of motion with your head now. So we just spent a lot of time talking about kinky troll sex.
This is a great introductory episode.
Yes,
this is very sexy, and we know that saucy. Sex sells very well.
It does sell.
This is probably the raciest episode we will ever do.
Yeah, I somehow actually doubt that. I think this is the raciest movie we're going to look at. I don't think it's the raciest episode.
Okay.
But I do feel like we are earning an explicit tag on iTunes right now. So Poppy and Branch go off. They find a series of holes, a series of tubes, if you will, one of which will
lead... Oh, this is getting even more sexual.
Yeah.
Which hole do we want to enter?
They got to pick the right hole. Only one hole is the glory hole, where they experience glorious victory.
Oh, goodness.
And the others will lead to certain doom, and it's like, why even have the other holes? Why not plug those? Why not plug those? Why not plug those up? And then they are. This is the point in the adventure where you have like a mysterious, like trickster riddle person show up. In the Tenth Kingdom, you've got that frog that always lies. In Labyrinth.
You've got the goat crotch critters.
You got the goat crotch critters. That is their legal
Which was
name.
My favorite book series as a child.
Wasn't that one of the Enid Blyton book series? And in this you have a cloud, a kind of a smart aleck cloud who all they want is a high five, which becomes a fist bump, which becomes a hug, which becomes... Branch.
It escalates to sexual intercourse.
It does escalate to them all climbing in the hole together. I will point out that none of this was consensual, because the cloud just runs into the hole, initially out of fear, but then I guess the cloud was leading them that way.
Well, he also did coerce Branch into touching him several times.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, I'll do it, I'll give the information you need if you touch me, which...
Because Branch has already clearly stated multiple times that he does not like hugs, he does not like physical contact, and time and again, his boundaries are violated by other characters.
I want to talk about this for a moment, because Branch is set up as kind of a miserly... He doesn't sing, he doesn't dance, he doesn't socialize, he doesn't go to parties, and he doesn't do PDA, and that's meant to vilify him, like, not necessarily vilified. I mean, he's not an antagonist, but
it sounds like he might be on the spectrum.
It's entirely possible.
He has a fixation with his doomsday prepping.
He probably watches a lot of History Channel.
Yeah.
He may well be on the spectrum, but that's not where I was going with it. The place I was going with it is that the movie presents this as a character flaw, like his lack of PDA and his own establishing his own personal boundaries and personal space is presented as a character flaw that the other trolls need to fix, which I disagree with. Poppy is... Wow. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, they're done.
Poppy, thank you for finishing your long, long shower, neighbours. Poppy is constantly trying to force him into physical... intimacies that he does not want to be a part of, and one does get the impression at the end of the movie that he's kind of worn down.
He finally gives in.
He does give in, and the film presents this as a victory for him and for the other trolls. That just made me feel a little uncomfortable.
And well, you should.
Yes. So they make their way into
the holes.
They go through the holes. They emerge to the other side. The cloud says, "Ha ha! You chased me into the hole, and now everyone's happy." And then disappears.
Yeah, he goes back in the hole.
He goes back in the hole because he had such a good time.
And he does not reappear until the finale. So it's a strange little bit part.
Yeah, and
that doesn't really.
It doesn't add anything to the film other than to take up run time.
But, which could be said of a lot of aspects of this movie.
So they're now in Boglin Town, and the goal is to locate the missing trolls, which eventually turns into them helping Bridget, the scullery maid, flirt with, court, and possibly have sex with King Gristle in what starts out as kind of a Cyrano de Bergerac style or Cyrano de Bergerac style.
Oh, that was very clever.
Thank you very much. Sometimes I hit the mark. Situation where they get her all dolled up and gussied up, and then the trolls disguise themselves as her hair, all to court the king and get his affections. And then there's an extended sequence which takes place at a roller rink that you and I decided was definitely a visual metaphor
that
for
was
sex.
The sex scene. They assumed a lot of different positions.
Yes. And
there's just a lot of physical contact.
Yeah, and then as in all of my sexual encounters, it's eventually interrupted before completion by an overbearing, controlling monster figure and it's the chef who shows up and...
Are you also wearing roller skates?
I can't generally anymore. Speaking. I used to.
Yeah.
But not so much these days. I go for more of a rollerblade.
Stationary. Kind of. Oh, well that also...
I mean, the rollerblades, I don't use them, they're more for show, but, you know, old habits, you know. As she's
put on your FetLife page.
Yes,
rollerblading into everything about it.
Rollerblading into everything about it, and then another one is old habits dying hard, receiving. So the chef shows up, and the king has to go. Oh, so even before that, when they were getting Bridget ready, Branch refused to sing. Like, all the other trolls were like, "We're going to sing about how we're going to give you a makeover," and Branch doesn't sing. And because Branch doesn't sing, Bridget thinks he doesn't believe in the plan, and therefore he's right, because pessimists are always right. And then we get, like, the most ridiculous, like...
trauma backstory.
A full 180 pivot. Like, why doesn't he sing? Oh, no big deal. Singing killed his grandmother.
Which is kind of a leap.
That's a hell of a leap.
It's a strong tonal shift.
It's Homer Simpson jumping Springfield Chasm on a skateboard and somehow sticking the landing on the other side, which is a reference you don't get because you don't watch The Simpsons. That's another podcast, I think, at some point, is watching The Simpsons and appraising it. And every episode is, "I don't like this." It's you just saying, "I don't get why people watch this." That's not judgment.
That is probably how that would go.
That is how that would go. Like,
so really, we've already done the podcast, if you think about it.
Molly, what did you think of this episode? Okay, cool. Tune in next week when Molly will add another episode. So Branch doesn't sing or experience any joy or mirth because apparently that is what killed his grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
But so that happened earlier. Let's flashback forward, or just...
We're coming back to the
roller skating. So, yeah... Sorry, I know that's how we're describing it, but it's still...
It is a little redundant because all sex does involve roller skating.
It does involve the roller skates, yeah, as evidenced by my FetLife profile. So Bridget runs away when the chef's like, "Oh, blah, blah, blah." Like, that's the exact dialogue from the film.
That's the Bergen language.
Yes, that's how they speak. It's like they all speak with like Charlie Brown trumpet noises, and it's very difficult to understand. So do turn on the subtitles when you watch this movie.
We were very confused for the first 12 or 13 minutes before we thought to turn on the subtitles.
And then we went back and watched it again, and it made a lot more sense. I don't know whether that was a creative decision or whether there was like a problem with the microphones that day when they were recording all the Bergen dialogue, but it just didn't work. So the whole thing is basically that this whole sequence is like the Smurfs meets Cyrano de Bergerac right up until the chef shows up and Bridget runs away, leaving behind a single solitary roller skate, and then it becomes Cinderella a bit, but with Avatar alien sex.
Mm-hmm.
That is literally my next note. It goes from, "And now it's Cinderella?" question mark. And my next line is Avatar alien sex. Now, I don't know why that note is on here. They do some hair stuff.
There's some hair interlocking during one of their escapes.
Okay. Add hair interlocking to your list of fetishes.
Okay. Is that a... Okay.
I can
so
be.
Far, all I have is... Oh, I did. I wrote hair sex.
Okay.
I wrote vor hair sex and no genitals.
No
which
genitals.
I feel like must be...
Spiderweb bondage.
Bondage.
Bondage is on there. Inflation. Body inflation.
I didn't know about that one.
That one's definitely a thing. Don't ask me how I know that.
Okay. And how do you know that?
Let's move on. Listen, you spend enough time on DeviantArt, you find some weird stuff. True. Just if you just go to DeviantArt and just search for Sonic, not even with the Hedgehog.
There's no pregnant Sonic in this movie.
There's no pregnant Sonic.
If there is, it's well hidden in the background.
It's like that episode of Maya the Bee where there's a dick carved on the inside of one of the logs.
I did not notice any dicks, although I'm sure if we were to watch it back, we would probably see a lot of phalluses.
Yeah.
And
well, they have to make up for the genitals metaphors that they didn't render on the trolls by putting them in the background elsewhere, because if you don't render them, you can't legally... Like, the MPAA will only give a film a rating if they know that the genitals are somewhere in the movie. You just have to hide them. Because if they don't know that there are genitals in the movie, then everything could be genitals, so they have to give it a hard R. But if you say, no, we've rendered the genitals, they're behind this bush, or carved onto the ceiling, or the chef has a swear word carved on the back of her head, and the swear word is her penis. Like, that is, you have to do that, and then you have to send the MPA, like, the character models and, like, full 3D breakdowns, and then they can approve give it, yeah, they can approve and give it the G rating, because they can see the genitals, but they know that they're out of sight.
Was this rated G?
I assume it was.
Let's look it up. There. I probably
got the Wikipedia entry up on
it. It says it's rated PG.
PG? So, okay, let's move on. There's the Avatar alien hair sex, and then...
That's during the escape sequence, where they have to aid each other.
Aid each other.
That's what they call it.
That's their
kind of
word
a clinical
for it.
Terminology.
It's very, very clinical, but it gets the job done. That's where baby trolls come from. They hatch out of the gem on the belly button that the old toys had. But that none of the
no,
also
we do see some navels, but none of them are.
There's
gems.
No gems. I did point out that Poppy's dress was very, very. It wasn't low cut, but it was cut low enough that if it were real and she had to bend down, you would definitely see some troll butt. But I also think that the butt is probably the least offensive part
of
the troll.
So you're saying that her skirt was short enough. Is that what you're saying?
The concern I had was that it was
there was a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, it was impending.
But we assume that they're all very comfortable with butts, because some of them are literally naked the entire time.
That is true.
So I don't think troll butts register to them as nudity. But I don't think they understand nudity as a concept if they don't have any genitals or sensitive areas that they feel the need to conceal.
You would think that, but Poppy's father ends up in his underwear at the very beginning of the movie.
And they seem very chill about it.
They do seem very, very chill about
it.
But he still has the underwear to cover his nethers. What was he wearing before that? I don't even remember what got ripped off.
He had socks. He had a little vest.
And that's it.
I think he may have had a pair of pants. He must have had a pair of pants.
Yeah.
But else he would have just been in his underwear.
Trolls aren't given underwear than their toys, he said.
He probably had a pair custom made for him just because he likes...
Okay.
Maybe he just gets chilly.
So Poppy's father, the king of the trolls, invented underwear for the troll people.
Yes.
He's the person who...
And that's why they crowned him king.
Like they didn't even have a monarchy before he invented the underwear. They're like, wow, this is good stuff. The space where my genitals would be...
Why don't you make all our decisions for
us? Yeah, and then they made him a crown out of some leaves. And then they immediately got captured by the Durgans. The Tyler Durgans. So the trolls get captured and put in a big pot.
A tureen.
All of the trolls get captured. All of them. The chef.
Except for Creek, the traitor.
Yeah, because he betrays
Judas
them. Because he was going to be eaten by the king, and then in a time warp, like, Torchwood-style flashback to the scene that happened where he got eaten, they reveal that he actually didn't get eaten, and he sold out the other trolls to spare his life. Now, this troll was played by Russell Brand. So this is a very on-point casting choice, I feel, because I don't trust that man. I trust that man about as far as I could throw Papua New Guinea. So he nailed it. He did good. So all of the trolls are in the pot, and Trollstice is going to happen the next day, and all the trolls are kind of resigned to their fate, and because they're all sad and depressed, they are drained of their color.
They become desaturated.
They become desaturated. Which I want to... This raised a question, and I asked you this question while we were watching the film, because... The implication is that when trolls are sad, when they are despondent, when they are depressed, they lose all of the color drains out of their body. At the beginning of this movie, when they have been captured and are living in the tree.
In slavery. Awaiting their death.
Awaiting their annual cull, they're still bright, vivid colors. So.
It can't have been all bad.
They must have been oh, kind of okay with it. Like, maybe they had a population boom that they didn't know how to control. The underpants thing clearly wasn't helping. In fact, it was hurting because when everything's covered up, it makes everything saucier. Like, what is, it's like, you know.
What's in there?
Yeah, what's in there? I want to know. And then, oh, no, we're having troll babies. So,
how did this happen?
How did this happen? Because they don't have sex ed in Trollland. They don't have it. And why would they? You know, this is not an issue. So they had this huge population boom. Along come the Janet Jacksons, who very generously offer to help them control their population. And it's a symbiotic relationship. The Bergens get their joy. They get to have an annual
hit. They get their SSRIs.
Yeah. And the trolls get to not starve to death because there's too many of them and not enough food to go around. Like, it's a symbiotic relationship. And at some point, probably, you know, King Underpants decides that that's no longer a beneficial arrangement and says, I think we can just go, to be honest. These bars are ridiculously wide. We can just leave.
And but they don't even leave via the bars.
They build a bunch of tunnels under the ground. So why are now? Why is it just now the trolls have discovered the concept of depression and they lose all their colour? And then the one troll who's been the saddest for longest, and we all know misery loves company, decides that misery doesn't love company anymore, and he sings a little song for the first time since his grandmother died, and he gets his colour back, and Poppy gets her colour back, and everyone gets their colour back. And it just goes to show you can cure depression by having a troll with the voice of Justin Timberlake sing at you for 2 minutes and 13 seconds.
And touch you affectionately.
Which does help a little bit. They talk a little bit about how Branch needed to just learn to be happy again, and one of
which is how depression works.
That is how depression works. Like, you have to choose happiness very clearly. I'm not being facetious at all. That is an honest statement. Actually, I am being facetious. I don't want anyone to come away from this podcast with the message that this film gives, which is literally that you can use another person to fill the hole. Like,
I mean, you can literally. If we're speaking literally.
Well, I mean, literally in the sense of that's the message of the movie, is that if you're depressed,
it's to put another person inside your hole, what you just described.
Yeah, and
which you can do. In a
which,
very
again,
and
you
sense.
Can add that to the list
and
of
fetishes.
And
there's a lot of... Well, that's not a fetish, is it? I think you just described
that's just sex.
Standard PNV.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to add that.
It's called.
PINV. Is what the children call it.
Yeah, PINV. Hey, me and Janice are going up to PINV Point tonight.
Oh my god.
So while the trollstice is happening again, the King Gristle is having a big banquet for everyone in town, and there's not a lot of people.
It's a very small kingdom.
I want to say that Bergentown is maybe 24 people and a king, which is a problem because that means that when the chef left, that was a statistically significant portion of the
population
was gone for 20 years and then came back and decided to ply everyone with drugs, which is obviously going to, the drugs of course being the trolls. I don't need to extend that metaphor very far, but I did, and I'm going to keep going. But all while this is happening, Bridget, who you may recall is the troll that got Serena de Bergerac earlier, she's also the scullery maid and she's got to help prepare the trolls. And she actually frees the trolls. Rather than taking the trolls to be eaten, she takes them up to the roof so that they can escape. And then there's a moment that Poppy and Bridget share where they're kind of looking at each other and they tell each other that they love... I love you, and I love you too. Like, that's very nice and affectionate. And I'm almost certain, again, there's a Tumblr subculture dedicated to that ship. I am sure. I do not want to look it up right now. I will look at FetLife. I will not go down a Tumblr rabbit hole. That way madness lies. My notes literally are, someone somewhere ships Poppy with Bridget. It's a very small kingdom. The entire movie is about sex. That's the end of my notes. But
that's really all you needed to have written for this movie.
So Poppy decides that everyone needs to go back and help Bridget, despite the fact that there's no real call for it, other than just, I guess, being nice.
She's kind-hearted and empathetic, and that's her strength.
That is her strength. I forget the specifics of how... Because the ending happens very, very quickly.
It's kind of abrupt.
It's like they were told, oh, by the way, we're not going to release this to theatres digitally. We are only sending them film, and you only have 4 minutes left of film to use, and three of those have to be the end credits, so be very careful. It's very abrupt. It's like the ending of The Curse of Monkey Island. It's just very, boop, and it's done.
So Poppy and her friends burst in on their roller skate.
Yes. Yes. I need you to... And I can't. Just, you have to carry this forward because it's gone from my brain.
And then they reunite Bridget and Gristle, the prince.
Prince.
The prince. and those two learn that happiness comes from having a romantic relationship.
A strictly monogamous heterosexual relationship between two people of equal or greater height.
Yes.
Two people of equal, well, they both have to be taller than each other. Sorry, those are my dumb words. The chef gets kind of run out of town. The trolls kind of let the burger know that, hey, King Gristle, you were happy without eating trolls because you had a fun time on your date with Bridget. And Bridget, you were happy without having ever eaten a troll because you had fun on your date with Gristle. You can be happy.
Just date constantly.
Just constantly, like, be a serial dater. Just hop from relationship to relationship each time, hoping that the next leap will be the leap home. And then that's basically how the movie ends. And then they set fire to the chef and end credits.
And yeah, and then the chef gets eaten.
That is exactly.
Gets bored by a fuzzy critter with a long tongue.
Creek, the troll who we've mentioned Trader Troll,
the,
which is where
Sean
I get...
The Sean Bean troll.
That's where I get most of my organic produce from, is Trader Troll. It's not a great joke, but I work with what I've got.
They don't
okay?
have a very large organic selection.
They don't. But they... They'd have that... Was it the almond butter?
That stuff's good.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And they do some really good, like, microwavable stuff. Like, surprisingly delicious microwavable stuff. It's probably because it's, you know... One of the key ingredients is happiness, and by happiness I do mean troll blood.
Ground up.
You can
it's
get
like black pudding, but it's made of trolls.
You can get the pre-ground troll, but I prefer to get the troll one of those things with a hand grinder at the top because it's just nicer, you know. So they set fire to the chef. The chef lands on a hill. The chef goes to eat the traitor troll, and then the hill eats both of them.
Yeah.
And that's...
It's kind of a turducken situation.
Yeah. It's a turducken of misery. And then that's the end of the movie, with zero set up for a sequel, but we're getting one anyway.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
There's not really anything left.
There's no story left to tell, but they'll figure something out.
They'll find a way. I mean, they found a way to tell this story.
Yeah.
They erected a narrative around this.
Around these
children's
little...
toy.
Yeah. And this is the thing, like, I was genuinely impressed by, is that they were able to... I don't know a lot about troll lore. I don't know a lot about...
I don't know that there is troll lore.
Yeah. There must be, because these toys have existed for 1,700 years.
A lot of years.
It's too many years, frankly. I remember, and I think I mentioned this earlier on the podcast, we used to get Weetos, and every year, like during the summer, they would do the troll pencil topper promotion, where you get a pencil, a troll that you put on the top of your pencil.
What part... of the troll does your pencil go into?
Oh, it absolutely goes into the butt and crotch. Kind of a taint situation.
I'm going to look up a picture of that. Because I do not believe you.
Just look up troll pencil topper.
Oh,
but
dear.
They did one that was the mascot for the cereal. The mascot was called, I think, Professor Weeto. Weetos, by the way, being like if Cocoa Puffs and Cheerios had like a night of unbridled but unprotected sex. And then...
Oh my... Oh, dear.
And then Weetos...
It goes right
are the illicit love child
right
of that.
Into the...
It goes all the way up.
Right
but they,
up in there.
But one of these
not
pencil
toppers...
Not even
a little shy about that.
Yeah. But one of the pencil toppers they did was of Professor Weeto, the Weetos mascot.
I'm going to look up a picture of that.
That's the one that I had and loved as a kid, because it was the rarest of the lot. And it was the first one I got, because I was a god unto children.
Oh, my.
Yep, that's the guy. That's who I had. He went right on top of my pencil.
It's kind of a Doc Brown sort of situation.
Yeah, he kind of has a... He looks a little bit like if Doc Brown and Dean Pelton from Community...
If Doc Brown was a trolley.
Yeah. If he and Dean Pelton from Community stepped into the transporter from The Fly.
And we're also trolleys.
And we're also trolls. So, I guess the big question is, what do we think of this assault on the senses that was the 2016...
I think that I am grateful that I never have to watch that again.
You've seen it a full 100% more than I have.
That's true.
And hopefully
so
you
So I
never...
should have 100% more insight.
What are your insights? Tell me your thoughts, feelings, and emotions
I
about
the movie. I think
every
time I watch it, I just come away shaking. Like, I can't take any more of this bizarre stimulation.
That's fair. I've also realized that over the last 2 minutes, I keep referring to the movie as Troll, which is a very, very...
That's a different movie.
It's the prequel to this one. In the same way that the sequel to Alien is Aliens and the sequel to Predator is Predators, the sequel to Troll is Trolls. And it's tonally, it's a different movie, because kids are going to go back and want to watch the first one, and it's very, very different. So we
but
have
it's
to...
less sexy.
It is significantly less sexy. If we had to rate this movie... let's pick an arbitrary number, because we don't have a rating system.
No.
I'm going to say out of 7. How do you feel? What do you think our rating system should be?
I think it should be something fun and clever.
Buy it, rent it, ignore it?
That's too strict.
It's too strict.
It really depends on what you as a viewer want from your movie going experience. If you want to feel like you're on Poppers, then this is the movie for you.
It is like having fruit gushers poured directly into your eyes.
Yeah. You're in an altered state of consciousness.
How much of the cast of Pitch Perfect appear in this movie?
At least one individual. That's it?
I thought Rebel Wilson was in this as well.
No, I don't think so. I think I would have recognized her voice.
I feel like she was doing an accent, but I might have been imagining.
No, I think you're... I mean, that's me gently telling you you're wrong. Yeah, okay. I know for sure that the answer is no.
All right, that's fine. That's fair, you know? And I'm comfortable with being wrong. So we do need to think of a rating system. If we use Trolls as our base barometer and we reward future movies out of Trolls, this film is Trolls out of Trolls by default, but then future movies can either be more or less Trolls.
This is a lot of pressure to decide.
Which is why I'm suggesting we just use this movie as the barometer, because then this movie is easy to rate. It is Trolls out of Trolls. And then the next movie, if we think it's worse than this, we can say it's 0.5 Trolls or 0.277 recurring Trolls. But if it's better, we can say it's 2.3
Trolls. It just seems like quite a commitment Trolls. To use this as the standard, the canon against which all other films are measured.
Well, let's go with something a little bit more thematic. What if it's buy the toys, rent the movie... Don't tell your kids this exists.
I would say rent the movie if those are my three options.
And it's easy to do because it's on Netflix.
I mean, maybe you will want to buy the toys if that's what you're into.
I do like the design of the trolls.
They're much more appealing than the original troll toys, which sort of had this weird goblin-y look.
They did have... They looked like the Norwegian house troll that Pierce gave Troy in the Darkest Timeline episode of Community.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes. Which I suspect was deliberate on the part of the prop designers at, who worked on Community. But there's something very warm about the character design. Something very aesthetically appealing. And not just with the bright colours, because everyone knows kids like bright colours because they're stupid and they don't understand nuance. But the design of the trolls, their faces, their bodies, and their personalities in the movie are very specifically designed to feel warm and safe and friendly, to make you want to put a row of them on your shelf in your bedroom next to your, I don't know what kids have these days, Dawson's Creek Trapper Keeper.
I think they look a lot less human. There's less of an uncanny valley feeling when you look at these troll designs.
I'm going to Google the new trolls toys.
They look almost more like...
Haunted?
The
old ones look haunted.
The old ones look creepy because they look too human or simian almost, but these look more, I want to say, rodent-like. They've got just the ratio of the head to the nose to the mouth to the eyes looks more like some sort of animal.
It should be pointed out, the original toys had no points of articulation. They were literally just, I want to say, like plastic figurines with hair, and they've gone that route with the newer ones. But the newer ones have...
Are they jointed?
No, they still have 0 points of articulation, but they've gone all in on the hair. Like, the hair is clearly the focal point of the entire shebang. But it's not very kempt. We actually wanted to... We had a question about that one dude, who I think was voiced by Ron Funches in this, who was basically four troll legs...
Wearing an odd reggae giraffe costume.
Yeah.
What was he supposed to be?
What the hell?
He looked like the result of some sort of experiment.
Yeah,
like maybe the Bergens had in their breeding experiments. He's some sort of GMO.
Yeah,
that they were trying to create.
Genetically modified organism.
Yes, that is what GMO stands for.
Yes, which is why I said it out loud. I wasn't making a joke.
Or
was I? No.
So that's my theory.
So there's the trolls, and then there's the Ron Funches troll, who is a gamol.
I wouldn't say he's a troll. He's just a little critter.
He's a gamol, a GMO troll.
A gamol. Some sort of like troll centaur.
A trentar.
Central. Makes a lot more.
That's
sense.
Funnier, actually. I definitely do think that's.
I'm better at the portmanteaus than you are.
Yeah, you're I'm portmanteauable.
Oh my god.
It's great. So the sequel, are we putting odd, how much money do we want to put on the sequel being about them finding a rival faction of trolls?
Cause that I feel seems like... very likely, because they don't really have anywhere else to go, unless maybe we find Ron Funch's family.
That could be the entire theme.
And we just are like, what is this odd giraffe-like creature.
Yeah, we could end up in kind of a, yeah, like a Muppets from Space, mm-hmm. you know, Gonzo the whatever yeah. situation with Trolls 2. I'm going to look up Trolls 2 and see if we have any plot information. I have no information about the narrative other than I know that it was supposed to be released on April 10th, 2020, but has been brought forward to February 14th, 2020 to avoid having to compete with Fast and Furious 9.
Oh, no one wants that. You don't. Which one are you going to take your children to? The children just want to go see some cars.
Or you could do a double.
Also, they want to have some sexual awakenings.
They do. And you can have that with both films. Like, you can become a sexually attracted to trolls who are into, you know, inflation bondage war, or you can be sexually attracted to a car.
Which, an objectum sexual.
Yeah. I'm glad that you know the term for that. I didn't know that there was a term for that.
I watch a lot of documentaries.
Okay. I like that you had plenty of time to come up with a plausible alibi.
Then I'm married to the Eiffel Tower.
You're married to the... Legally?
Yes.
Wait, does that mean that the Eiffel Tower has a green card, or does that mean that you qualify for French citizenship?
Means I qualify for...
Well, it could be both, I guess.
Permanent residency, yeah.
Nice. Are you going to go?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. You actually got to find a place.
I mean, the Eiffel Tower is more of an outside cat kind of relationship. They want to keep their freedom.
Yeah. So would you kind of stay
in the
area?
They have a lot of spouses.
Hose in different area codes kind of situation. Or la-ha-ha-ha's in different area codes. No, I'm sorry. That was bad. I apologize. I'm better than that. Can I try again?
Yes. One last time.
Okay. French kissing.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So our final verdict was rent it.
Rent if you're into bright colors, loud sounds, and any of the sexual fetishes that we mentioned... Or you want to be into, and you're looking for kind of something to ease you into it, if you're wanting to have a low-key awakening, if you're just open to the idea of maybe getting into bondage or fire play.
Or of discovering that maybe you were always into this thing but didn't know until it was too late. It's always too late. Or is it never too late?
I think it's the latter.
It's always never too late.
It's never always too late.
I think mine's better.
Never always...
Never. It's is always it never
late,
is more.
Late enough to...
It's always never too late. There's more optimism there. It's always.
But it's, I feel like they have roughly the same meaning. If it's never always too late, then it's not always too late. Like,
yeah, we're kind of looking at two sides of the same turducken here. I'm just putting words together. It's
Do you need more sugar water?
I do, but we're actually done.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it. We were just we talk about the film, we review it, and then we stop recording.
Cool.
So there we are. I want to thank you, I'm optimistically going to say listeners, for listening to the debut episode of the Life Toyetic.
I forgot the name. It was a very sexy episode.
It was a very... They won't all be this saucy. They might be.
I think they might be.
I feel like we may accidentally find... It depends on how much Ribena
I think this
beforehand.
Might turn into a fetish show.
Yeah. Like,
we just watch children's movies and...
discuss this explicit sexual content.
Yes.
Like, for example, The Lion King. Timon and Pumbaa, are they a gay couple?
Probably.
Cool. We don't even need to... That's it. We're done. We're done with that one. I also want to swoop in and thank Brian Melblom for helping us out with a brand new theme tune at the last minute. Very last minute, in fact, to the point where I'm inserting this thanks in the edit minutes before uploading to the server. So thanks, Brian. You're the best, and we love you, probably. So that is us. We will be back in 2 weeks with another episode of The Life Toyetic with Ben and Molly. But until then... Thank you for listening. Do we have a funny, clever sign-off?
We probably will develop one the coming weeks and months.
Okay. I kind of feel like I want to gestate one now. I want to try one out.
Okay.
Let's see what... Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to The Life Toyetic. Go buy the toy. I didn't say it was clever.
That was a little weak.
It was a little weak. Do you want to try something? Do you want to try something?
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, dear. Now I'm on the spot. Nope. I don't have anything.
Maybe that should be our sign-off. Thank you for listening to The Life Toyetic. Nope, I don't have anything.
Now you're mocking me and making me feel insecure about myself.
But we neither of us have anything.
We will come up with one, I'm certain of it.
We'll come up with a sign-off. We're certain of it. Bye!